Hallelujah. If you're alive this morning, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. The title of my message will be this: that the impossible still happens. The impossible still happens. The impossible still happens. I've seen periods in my life, and this is long ago, but for me, it's a landmark that I can always go back to and say, God, when I was at this point, when I was in need, you came through for me. You know, I remember some time back, you know, I was in a desperate state. I wasn't even able to pay my rent. That's how bad it was. And I remember my landlord and my landlady would come to me and say, you know, it doesn't matter. Just stay for one more month and we'll see what God will do. But, you know, the point is I spent all my savings on my rent till I had nothing. There were days I would go out and go and look for work. And by the time I come home, my landlord and my landlady would put food in front of my door. I mean, it never happens anywhere. Who does that? Who does that? I mean, this is somebody that you owe money to, and yet they'll put food. Yeah, it's amazing. And not only that, I had a friend who was on death row in Iraq. Death row, and he says, Godfrey, in Iraq, if you're on death row, there's nothing that can save you. There's nothing. And somehow, the next day he didn't die, God saved him. Listen, I want to tell you this morning that the impossible still happens. And I don't know where you are right now, and I don't know what you're going through right now, but the impossible still happens. I find it very, very strange that, you see, if you're a player and you play for a team like Barcelona or Real Madrid, for instance, you would be rich. Even if you're a bad player, you'd still be rich. It's nothing to do with you. It's everything to do with the team. The team, the club is so wealthy that, you know, they pay you money. And so if you are children of God, I don't see why we shouldn't see the supernatural in our lives. You know, the supernatural should be the natural thing that we see every single day. And if you're not seeing it, then there's something wrong. Because we serve a supernatural God. And so the result has to be a supernatural result. Now, we can't live like normal people every single day. That shouldn't happen. And to help me put this point across, I want us to go to 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7 from verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 7 from verse 1. Now, check this. It says, but Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. That says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Then the captain on whose hand the king leaned said to the man of God, if the Lord himself should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? But he said, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Now this reminds me of a story in Luke chapter 1 when Zachariah and Elizabeth were believing God for a baby. Now, the Bible says for a long time, you know, you would think that it's a normal thing that when you're married, like every single person is having babies. How come it's not happening for me? And so for them, they didn't understand. So the Bible said they prayed to God, and one day he was going about his priestly duties. He was doing what he normally does every day. And then God appeared to him. And at times, God appeared to us in our normal day, what we do from day to day. We try and look for God everywhere, but at times, it's what we do on a daily basis, like on a normal day that God shows himself. But at times, we are too busy, we don't even notice his presence. You know, and the Bible says, as Zachariah was going about his duty, an angel appeared to him, and he said to him, listen, God has heard your prayers, and that he is going to give you a son. You know, and you shall call his name John. But Zachariah doubted him. And the angel said, because you've doubted me, you are going to lose your speech until such a time that, you know, the baby is born. Now, it was for his own good that he lost his speech, because at times the only limitation to our future, the only limitation to our breakthrough is the things that we impose on ourselves, the things that we say. Listen, if you've got nothing positive to say, please, 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 don't say anything. Just shut your mouth. Hold your breath. Please don't say anything. Because the Bible says, by your words you'll be judged, or by your words you'll be condemned, and by your words you'll be acquitted, or something like that. So be careful what you say. And so I kind of feel for this guy in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 2, the captain, because let me tell you what was happening here. The army of Assyria, or the army of Syria, had surrounded Samaria. They had completely surrounded Samaria to the point that nobody could go in that city and nobody could come out. The army of Syria, they had surrounded it. And the plan or the idea was that They cut the supplies that was coming into Samaria so that they couldn't deal, they cut out all the food supply and all the necessities that are needed to survive. They cut everything so that nothing could go in, nothing could come out. And the idea was that they do that for some time, and then when the people are weak, when they are starving, then they will go in and take possession of the land. And many times that's what the enemy does. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 5, that if you remain in me and I remain in you, you know, then you shall bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so the enemy understands that as long as we are connected with God, our supply is constant. It's only when you separate yourself from God through prayer that you become a target for the enemy. And the enemy at times will surround you with so much to do that you think, oh God, I don't even have time to pray. There are times you would get home, you have every good intention to pray. You fall down on your knees, and before you know, you're gone. You're asleep. You wake up the next day. Some people are laughing because they can identify. I mean, I've been there so many times where there are times you just fall down on your knees to pray, and before you know, you're up the next morning like that. It happens. It happens all the time. But that is the plan of the enemy. He will surround with so many, and at times there will be legitimate activities that he'll bring your way, and slowly, before you know, gradually, he'll be drawing you away from God. And then once he gets you where he wants, then you're a target for him. You're a target for him. And so this is what was happening in Samaria, because the army of Assyria had surrounded them. And to some point, famine began to hit the city. Famine began to hit the city. In fact, it was so bad that mothers began to eat their children. That is how bad it was. It was so bad that mothers began to eat their children. And this is when the king stepped in and he went to Elisha the prophet and he said, what is happening here? Is God punishing us for anything? And this is the answer that Elisha gave that we are reading in 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 1. Let's go back please, G. But Elisha said, so this was Elisha's response to the king. He says, hear the word of the Lord tomorrow about this time. So he's saying, in the next 24 hours, in the next 24 hours, I am going to do the impossible. I'm going to do something that you've never seen before. I'm going to do something that you've never heard before. And that's what I'm saying. I feel for this captain, because at times when you find yourself in a situation that is that bad that you can't even see a way out, it's hard to believe that God can do something like that, because we tend to look at the situation instead of God. You know, but the thing is, if you're a child of God, never ever look at the situation, because the only limitations that you have in your life is the ones that you impose on yourself. And by having doubts and having unbelief, you stop the flow and power of God in your life. Let's see what happens in verse 3. In verse 3, it says, now there were four men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, let us enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. So now come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall die. So they arose at twilight or dusk to go to the camp of the Syrians. But when they came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had made the army of the Syrians hear the sound of chariots, of horses, the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to come against us. So they fled away in the twilight and abandoned their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. And when the lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent and ate and drank, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried off things from it and went and hid them. Then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. Let's jump to verse 16, please. 16:16. Then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Syrians. So a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 seah of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. According to the word of the Lord. God will do what he says he will do. He will do what he says he will do. But what I find interesting is, when those lepers, when they got to the entrance, when they got to the camp of the Assyrians, when they got to the camp, they found out they had all fled away. They had left their tents and everything, and they had all run away. But yet, at the same time, in Syria, in that city, they were still, in Samaria, in that city, they were still thinking the enemy was there. So even though the enemy had fled, in their minds, the enemy was still there, and that was affecting them. The number of times that we are held captives in our own minds, And the thing is, you know, if you continue to be held captives in your own mind, there's nowhere you can progress. And what the enemy does is when the enemy fled, they left their tents. At times, the enemy will leave certain things in your life that will constantly remind you of your past. And that will stop you from moving forward. And the only thing that can deliver you, if you're a positive person, if you start confessing the way you are supposed to confess what God's word says concerning your life. You know, because as long as you're held captive in here, you continue to remain where you are. But for me, this if you look at this story from the point of view of the fact that God provided for that land, you'll be missing the point. The whole point of this story can be found in verse 3. If we go to verse 3 again, the whole point of this story says, now there were four men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate. Now, these guys were at the gate because they were considered outcasts. In those days, nobody really regarded them. They were worthless people. They were at the gate because they were considered outcasts. They were in nobody's land. Syrians didn't want them. Samaritans didn't want them. And so they were outcast. But I find it interesting that these people that nobody regarded were the people that God used to bring the blessing into the city. You know, they were the same people that God used to bring that blessing into the city. And the point I believe God is trying to make here is that, look, the blessing of that city was hidden in four men. Not just four men, but four lepers. Four lepers. Now, the question I want to ask this morning is, you know, is it possible that you are here this morning? Is it possible that you may have lost out on your blessing or your breakthrough because it was designed in a way that you were not expecting it? Is it possible that your blessing was hidden or disguised in a way that you were not expecting, and so as a result, you missed it? Is it possible that you missed out on your promotion because it was disguised in a way that you were not expecting it? And even how do you treat people? Because if you see, these guys were outcasts, but they were the ones who brought promotion. And depending on how you treat people, you've got to be careful because you don't know the impact they might have on your life one day. And they might have a major impact on your life. So you've got to be careful how you treat people. And that reminds me of the story of you know, Naaman and that slave girl. Now, if Naaman had been very horrible towards that slave girl, he might have missed out on his breakthrough. So how you treat people is extremely important. You never know where your miracle is sitting. And I believe that, as we all know, that this year is our year of expansion. I believe opportunities are definitely going to come. They are going to come. And at times, some of them might be hidden. It might be hidden. And so you have to discern. You have to discern everything that comes to you. But you need to ask God for a discerning spirit and a discerning heart to be able to pick up what he's trying to say. Otherwise, you miss it. You go through the whole year and think, God, I never got my breakthrough. And all the time, God is saying, but I brought that person in your life. I brought that person in your life, but because of your pride, you missed out that blessing. I brought this thing in your life, but because you're too proud, you completely missed it. And so we need to begin to see things in a completely different way. And now what I like about these lepers, this was this, they said, and they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? Why are we sitting here until we die? Why are we sitting here? In other words, you know, we are not waiting for the perfect moment. We are going to take this moment and make it perfect. You know, and many times we do that. We wait for the perfect moment instead of taking the moments that we have and making it perfect. So why wait here until we die? So what do? They step out and then go into the land of the into the camp of the enemy. But this is the thing, at times, the biggest risk that we face, is not taking any risk at all. That is the biggest risk we take. Because we like to play so safe. And I'm saying this because I've been there several times. I'm somebody, Ofapi knows, I like to play it safe. I like to play it safe. And I see how much it can cost you one day if you keep playing yourself. You need to take risks, but it has to be calculated risk. As long as you know what God is concerning your situation, you step out in faith based on that, you know, based on that. Because at times the biggest risk we face in life is when we don't take any risk at all. It's when we don't take any risk at all. And it's so dangerous. And like I said, we shouldn't be looking for perfect moments. We should take the moments that God has given us and make it perfect. You know, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Let's quickly let's see something in Matthew 25, 14. It says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability." I mean, God will never give you anything that is too much for you to handle. He would never do. Next verse, please. "He who had received 5 talents went and at once traded with them, and he made 5 talents more." Now, trading is a risk. Trading what you have is a risk. He had to take the risk, and he traded it. Next verse. "So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug the ground and hid his master's money," trying to play it safe here. "Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much.'" And now for this guy, that is how his expansion starts, because he was faithful with the little he had. You know, he took whatever moment he had and decided to make it perfect. And for him, he was just getting bigger. Next verse. "And he also who had 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Say, I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed.'" You know, his own words is just condemning him. "So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours.' Then listen to the master's reply. But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers at least, and at my coming I should have received what is my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 more talents. I mean, look at this. He was playing it safe. I don't think he did anything wrong. You know, but he was trying to play it safe. He just didn't want to take any risk at all. And that cost him everything he had. And that's why I said, at times, you know, the biggest risk is not taking any risk at all, because it can cost you. It can cost you. Listen, destiny is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. It's a matter of choice. It doesn't come to you. You need to go and achieve it. You need to go for it. That's destiny. If you sit down and you think destiny will happen, it doesn't happen like that. You know, and the question I want to ask you this morning is, when was the last time you did something for the first time? When was the last time you did something for the first time? Now, if you can't really answer this question, then it means you're not growing in this year of expansion. Then it means you're not growing. Because every day what I do, praise Jesus. Every day I ask myself, what did you achieve today? What did you learn today? How did you learn? Because if you're not asking yourself the right questions, you see, those lepers, 4 lepers, ask the right questions. Say, we sit here, why sit here till we die? Asking the right question can lead you to do the right things. And that's what I'm saying. You need to ask yourself, what have I achieved today? Because if you haven't done something new, then chances are you are still where you are. And we are in March. As far as you're concerned, this year of expansion wouldn't mean anything to you. You know. And even though God has said it, if you don't step out and do what you need to do, you find yourself still where you are. Hallelujah. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4, Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4, if you've got in the New Living Translation, that would be great, please. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4. See what God says here. Ecclesiastes 11, it says, "He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap." Can I have that in the New Living Translation, please, if you've got that? New Living Translation. It says, "Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest." You can't say you're waiting for the perfect moment. Then again, what is the perfect moment? You tell me. What is the perfect moment? Exactly. You have to start from somewhere. You have to take what you've got now. You've got to take that little talent God has given you and start something with it right now. Because if you're going to wait, you end up waiting forever. You end up waiting forever. And so this morning, I don't really like to bring long messages, because at times you bring long messages and then people forget. And so this is a short message, and this is an encouragement that I have for you this morning. That look, if you really want to make a difference in your life this year, you need to remember all these things that I've said. You should be able to take risk, but of course, calculated risk. You need to seize your moments. You need to seize it, you know. And at times, it doesn't happen big. It's in the little things that at times you don't even realize it's happening, but that is the moment. For some of you, as you're sitting right now, this is your moment. Your moment is happening right now. It takes the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see what God is doing. And I just want, because there are times you can be led to believe that, you know what, God is not on my side. You can be led to believe that, you know, how come things are working for people and then things are not working for me? But this one, I just want you to know that everything is possible with God. Everything is possible with God. The only limitation that we face in life are those that we impose on ourselves. And if you can live that limitation of your life, you begin to see the glory and power of God in a way that you've never, ever seen before. He says, you know, the things that he said to Elisha during the famine, he says, and it happened exactly as God said it. Now, if it happened exactly as God said it, you know, it's only the captain who didn't see it, because he died in the end because of unbelief. Doubt, unbelief, and faithlessness can steal your blessing. I want you to stand on your feet right now. Father, I just want to thank you so much for your children. Holy Spirit, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that every single word that you bring is because, Holy Spirit, you want the best for us. You reveal things because you want to show us the way out, Lord. You're a good, good Father, Father. The fact that you've declared that this year is our year for expansion, then again, the year for expansion could mean something different for everybody. It doesn't necessarily mean coming here and doing the offering talk or preaching. It's even where you were. It could be your home. It could be your relationship with your friend. It could be so many things. But you need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and find out what God is saying concerning your year of expansion. You need to really be sensitive to God and say it. But also, as much as God is able to do the impossible, we need to play our part. You can't just sit down and say, okay, he said he's going to bless me. Let me sit down and chill and relax. It will happen. No, you need to do your part. And that is what is called faith. 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 Taking that step in relation to what he's saying concerning your life. I want you to lift up your hands right now as we stand before God. I just want you to speak to God right now. And I want you to ask God to give you the strength where you're failing, because we are in March already. Before you know, we are in June, and we'll still be the same place that you are. But that's not what God wants for you. He wants increase for you. I want you to ask God to help you recognize what your moments are. What your moments are, so that you can seize those moments. Because it's the little things that make the big difference. You know, a couple of weeks ago I said this, that at times the smallest step you take in the right direction can be the biggest step you will ever take in your life. Because everything you do from there on hinges on that small step that you took. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift every single person here into your hands. I thank you that, Lord, they are destiny people. I thank you, Lord, the fact that they are in this room hearing this message this time tells me that, Lord, you have a plan and a purpose for them. A plan that is by far greater and bigger than anything they could possibly think or even imagine. Lord, if that plan you have for them is not bigger than them, then it's not from you. And so, Lord, I lift them up into your hands this morning, oh God. Father, I pray that you do only what you can do and take the glory, oh Father. That in this year of expansion, Lord, as they tread this path, oh God, that they will give you all the glory, oh God, for the amazing things, oh God, that you are doing in their lives. I give you all the glory, Father, and I give you all the praise, Father, in the name of Jesus.